eyes are blue. Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck. Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show. It's Monday, it's the 18th of June, it's 11 o'clock. I hope you are all very well and that you had a great weekend. Okay, on this morning's show, we're going to be having a chat about the subject of FODMAPs. And I'm sure some of you have heard about FODMAPs and some of you perhaps haven't, but can relate to some of the symptoms that FODMAPs cause. We're also going to be talking about fatty liver disease. Both the alcoholic version and the non-alcoholic version. And I have a special guest on the show with me this morning, Nikki Tolson. Good morning, Nikki. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you very much, Neil.
It's great to have you on the show this morning. And we're going to be finding out more about what Nikki does and how she may be able to help you in about 20 minutes or so. And we've also got music from 1997. When I was choosing the music from 97, it was a really difficult task to do because there was so much good music from the late 90s. And I can't believe it was 21 years ago. So we've got a few songs from 1997 as well. And so before we kick off the show, a quick disclaimer as per normal. The purpose of the Health Matters Radio Show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate, inform and enlighten you in ways that you can improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist first. And all content is provided for general information only and is based on my knowledge, my experience and often my opinion. And I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. Okay, if you'd like to tweet into the show and you'd like a shout out, feel free. The show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. Drop me a tweet. I have my Twitter feed live in front of me. Drop me a tweet, ask for a shout out, or if you've got any announcements you'd like me to make, drop me a tweet and I'll happily give you a shout out. And you can also find the show's Facebook page if you search Health Matters Radio Show. So, FODMAPs. What are FODMAPs? I'm sure some of you out there have heard of FODMAPs. FODMAP, but not really sure what they are. So FODMAP basically is an acronym and it stands for fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides and polyols. Now to most of you that means nothing, but essentially these are very short chain sugars. So oligosaccharides are many chains, but not that many. Disaccharides are two sugar molecules, and obviously a monosaccharide is a single sugar molecule. Polyols are quite interesting. Polyols are not sugars and not alcohols, but they are produced by the hydrogenation of their sugar source. So, for example, in lactose, lactose is the sugar in milk. And when they hydrogenate lactose, they produce a sugar substitute called lactitol. And that's then put into our food as a sugar substitute. So FODMAP, fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides and polyols. And the real key word to that acronym is fermentable. Now, for most people, FODMAPs are easily digested in the small intestine, which is where they should be digested. Occasionally, and in some cases for some people that suffer digestive issues, so perhaps gas or bloating or diarrhea or stomach pain or constipation, these FODMAPs can get into the large intestine, which is where they shouldn't be. Now, in your large intestine are gut bacteria. Most of your gut bacteria live in the large intestine, and it's estimated there's about 100 trillion gut bacteria in the average person, and they do lots and lots of good jobs. One of the things that they do is they feed off of certain carbohydrates. Now, fiber is a good source of food for them, And when gut bacteria feed off of fibre, they produce hydrogen gas. So that's not a problem. They produce methane. When they feed off of FODMAPs, they produce hydrogen. And it's the hydrogen that causes lots of problems in the gut. So it can cause all these digestive issues like gas and bloating and generally symptoms that we connect with IBS. So some of these polyols I mentioned, these are things like xylitol, sorbitol, mannitol, maltitol, lactitol, and isomalt. So these are derivatives. These are hydrogenated derivatives from their sugar sources. So these are actually classed as being sugar-free sugar substitutes, but they can cause significant gut problems when they get into the gut. FODMAPs, they also draw liquid into the intestine. So if these sugars get as far as the large intestine, they actually draw sugar in, which can be a driver of diarrhea for people that have trouble digesting these sugars in the small intestine. So other common FODMAPs, fructose can be a FODMAP. So this is the simple sugar that's found in many fruits and also some vegetables as well. And it's added to a lot of our food these days. So fructose can be a problem. Lactose can be a problem for some people. Fructans can be a problem. Now, fructans are found in gluten grains like wheat or spelt or rye or barley, barley even. Galactans are found in certain beans and other legumes. And we've already mentioned these polyols. And one of the biggest problems with these polyols, or one of the biggest culprits of the polyol family, is xylitol. Xylitol is added to a lot of our foods these days. But also you'll find that in their efforts to cut down sugar, many food manufacturers are putting sorbitol and mannitol into the foods that we eat these days as well. So, as I mentioned, so for people that have issues with these FODMAPs, they get as far as the large intestine. The gut bacteria use these sugars as fuel, so they ferment them as they use them for fuel, and they produce hydrogen gas, which we shouldn't really produce in the stomach. Methane is okay, and passing wind is completely normal. But hydrogen can cause some serious gut problems, including distension of the gut and also stomach cramps as well. So what's the problem with these FODMAPs? Well, as I say, for most people, it isn't a problem. For people that don't suffer with bloating or diarrhea or constipation or the IBS symptoms, it really isn't an issue. But many, many people do suffer with IBS. And actually, if you go to a hospital and they give you a colonoscopy, generally speaking, for people that suffer with IBS, there will be no physical signs. There won't be any bleeding or ulceration. And they'll then put it down to IBS. But IBS can often be caused by the food that we eat. And it's been estimated that around 75% of people that do suffer from IBS symptoms can benefit from a low FODMAP diet. And it's quite interesting because on the FODMAP list, you have good FODMAPs or things that are going to not cause you a problem, and you have foods that will cause you a problem. Foods like mushrooms and peppers and onions and garlic are really high up on the high FODMAP list. So they're really things to be avoided. So what I've also done as well is on my website, which is i-nutrition.co.uk, I've actually put a list of foods that if you suffer with IBS or you suffer with IBS type symptoms, you should try to avoid. And I've also put together a list of foods that are generally considered to be low FODMAP, and for those people that have these IBS symptoms, are generally safe to eat and shouldn't cause you any digestive distress. So if you go to www.i-nutrition.co.uk/FODMAPS, FODMAPS, you'll be able to find a list of all these foods, the bad ones and also the good ones. And there's some interesting evidence that has suggested that people that have got Crohn's disease and also ulcerative colitis can benefit from reducing down these high FODMAP foods and focusing on foods that aren't going to cause digestive distress. And if you do decide to go on the low FODMAP diet, then you can potentially look forward to things like having less gas, less bloating, less diarrhea, less constipation, less stomach pain. And because of the psychological impact of IBS type symptoms, you may also result in a reduction in stress. I've got one particular client who suffers a lot with IBS, and it causes her an immense amount of stress because she's always hunting out toilets wherever she's going. So potentially there is the benefit of reducing down the psychological issues that are linked to IBS as well. So that's FODMAPs, sugars that most people can digest in the small intestine. Some people can't digest in the small intestine, get into the large intestine, and then the gut bacteria have a party on them. But unfortunately for most people, it's not a good type of party. So we are going to crack on with the next part of our show this morning. And as I mentioned, we've got music from 1997. And I can't believe it's 21 years ago. We've got a fantastic song now by Texas, and it's Halo.
Just like children, lies that take her places she has never seen. The kiss and tell of it all, to her it seems so obscene. She's so pretty, her hair is amazed. We all love her.
Oh, Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, and my special guest on the show this morning, Nikki Tolson. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Neil. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Excellent, thank you.
Great. So before we crack on with the show and we have a chat with Nikki, just got a couple of shout outs, a couple of announcements to make. Had a tweet in from Helen Gear. Hi, Helen. Thank you very much for your tweet in this morning. And Helen's asked for a shout out. She's also said that she wishes Nikki all the best for this morning. Aww. You are an amazing lady.
Oh, thank you so much. And so is she. What she's offering to people is something quite remarkable. And I just envy all the mums out there who need her help.
Excellent. And Nick, Helen's website is www.newmumshelp.co.uk. And what Helen does, as I understand it, is that she supports anyone that's pregnant, also during the birth, and also she can give postpartum care. So once a baby's been born, she can help with that as well. She's also got a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/newmumshelp. So if you know anyone, or yeah, maybe applies to you, if you're pregnant or you need help during the birth, or you've had a baby and need some care, then perhaps give Helen a call, have a chat with her, and contact her through her website, www.newmumshelp.co.uk. Also, a quick shout out for Sheila Gwilym-Winter. Sheila Gwilym-Winter is helping people to build their financial future and help them to relieve causes of stress caused by financial issues, and helping them to create part-time or full-time income. And Sheila's website is www.right-time.org.uk. And just had a tweet in from a good friend of mine, Ben from BLIT Solutions. And Ben's Twitter feed is at BLIT Solutions. And Ben provides IT support, equipment and servicing and maintenance across Kent. And Ben's put a big hello from everyone at BLIT Solutions. Thank you very much, Ben. And if you'd like to tweet into the show yourself and you'd like a shout out, the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. And you can find us on Facebook if you search Health Matters Radio Show. And as normal, if you'd like to contact me personally and have a chat, then please contact me through my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And if you go to the media page, you'll be able to listen to this show again, and you'll be able to listen to all the previous shows that have been running since October last year. So lots of good information to listen to there. So on to our guest interview this morning. So as I mentioned, Nikki's on the show, and I'm intrigued to find out more about what she does, and I'm sure you are too, and also to find out how she might be able to help you. So officially, welcome to the show, Nikki. It's great to have you on. I know you're a little bit nervous this morning, but hey, you know, it's a great experience being on radio. So we'll just have a chat. And
excellent. Well, totally out of my comfort zone. But first of all, what I want to say to you, Neil, is I think what you're doing with regard to helping people improve their health is absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
The microbiome and the gut health is so important because we're living in an increasingly toxic world.
We are, and people don't know where to turn to. And often the first port of call for most people is their doctors. And I think GPs and the NHS do a good service, or they provide a good service with limited resources these days. But often GPs will give a person pharmaceutical drugs rather than offer other solutions, often because they're not in a position to do so, or they're not qualified to do so, and you know, quite rightly too. So my view is if you can provide someone with potentially natural solutions, most of the problems that we face these days relate to what we put in our mouth, what we eat, what we drink. Because if you put rubbish in, it tends to have a massive impact on your health.
Building junky cells. If you put good quality stuff in, you're going to have a good, healthy body.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's find out more about you, Nikki. Let's start at the beginning. How did you get into what you currently do, and what is your background?
Well, my background, I actually lived in Oxfordshire before I moved to Kent quite a long time ago, about 25 years ago. And my background was helping small and large businesses, startups, and I also worked as PA to some pretty high profile people. Mm-hmm. when I arrived here in Kent, there were some practical issues to sort out, such as getting children and my au pair into education, and also moving our business from Oxfordshire to Kent, which was a packet of fun. So for various reasons, I ended up working in a hospital, which worked for me whilst my youngest children were going through junior school and then on into secondary education.
Mm-hmm.
I also did a stint with social services, children and families, and I helped with their out-of-hours services at the weekend. So I was pretty busy, full-time working mum.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't leave much space, but having had six children go through my hands with a 17-year age gap, I could see very clearly that there have been changes out in the world. And when things in life happen so slowly, we don't actually realise what's going on. We don't appreciate that fruits and vegetables have changed in taste, or drugs that we weren't taking as children were being given to our youngest babies, our nurtured little ones, and we weren't questioning it. So lots of changes in the outer world. And of course, as we've already agreed in our conversation, the world has become very much more toxic. And what happened was I had taken up a licence for it was a sort of a task I was involved with.
Okay.
And a good friend of mine, a matron of a private wing in Hampshire, said, let's go and have a listen to see what they're talking about. It was a nutritional product.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, it seemed too good to be true. And for her, she just said, well, it made common sense to her. And as she was so believing in the whole concept, I thought, well, it makes common sense to me too. But, you know, life throws curveballs. And what I wasn't prepared for was that my youngest developed a problem. And the medical profession, as you've already said, just labelled him. And with my experience of the children going through my hands previously, I was determined to find a treatment that was more natural, let's say. So his father and I were adding a whole food supplement to our diet, and I didn't even consider adding this to his diet. For 2.5 years, I was traipsing around the county looking for some support and help and finding it, but nothing was changing his condition. So when I finally, after the 2.5 years, gave him what his father and I were adding to our diet, there was a definite change in his behaviour. He became very centred and calm, and over the next few weeks, he became very much improved, and I have to say he's going to be 29 next year, and we haven't looked back since then. So roll back 25 years, and anyone running a marathon or talking about organic fruits and vegetables or being vegan was really looked upon as being rather odd. Nowadays it's very much the norm and what people are searching for. So again, going back to what you said with regard to your own business, people are looking for natural solutions.
There is that shift, isn't there?
Most definitely.
There seems to be much more awareness. And I think there's a lot more awareness of actually what goes into our food now.
Oh, yes.
At a time when arguably the worst things are being put into our foods.
Totally.
And hidden by the food manufacturers.
Yes. Well, they don't have a brief to keep us full or healthy at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I have a certain train of thought that suggests that, you know, some certain food companies make us sick and then hand us over to the pharmaceuticals to just manage the symptoms rather than providing the solution.
Absolutely.
But that is just my opinion, hasten to add.
Maybe we're on the same page on that one. But it was interesting working in the hospital, I have to say, because a lot of the doctors were looking for different solutions for their patients, particularly their private patients. So rather than writing prescriptions and surgery, some of them turned in my direction, and we managed to help a lot of people while I was there. And since then, we've had a very satisfying time helping a lot of people enjoy a better quality of life. And that's what it's all about.
And I think that's incredibly brave of those doctors to do that.
I agree.
I tend to find that GPs in particular working within practices are confined, are bound obviously by NHS guidelines and Public Health England, and to find a doctor to think outside the box, it's incredibly brave of them to do that, because they expose themselves, because, you know, generally speaking, it is outside NHS guidelines. But if you can find a GP that is open to just to listen sometimes, that's all they need to do, and to perhaps look at other solutions rather than just prescribing more drugs. And the problem with drugs is they tend to lead on to other problems down the line as well.
They absolutely do. And it's very refreshing to know that doctors themselves are starting to search for more natural solutions. Mm.
Particularly with the big illnesses like cancer and diabetes and heart disease. And I was doing some interesting research recently about diabetes medication that can lead on to high cholesterol. And medication for high cholesterol can lead on to insulin resistance and diabetes. So we're kind of so far down that rabbit hole with medication that we take one pill to solve one problem, but we don't really... Not many people read the side effects. They don't read the instruction leaflet, the leaflet that comes with it, do they?
That's right. And as you say, we're taking such a cocktail of drugs these days in order to keep ourselves upright that we've forgotten to touch the earth and take what's being offered to us for free.
Absolutely. And we spend so much time dealing with the symptoms without changing the
cause.
Far too long. So you mentioned, obviously, you looked at these nutritional products and these food supplements. In what ways do you help people? In what ways can those products help people?
Well, for the last 25 years, I've merely helped people understand what alternatives are available so that they can make an educated decision as they want to do for themselves and for their family. I mean, everybody's looking for solutions and we're all too busy running around doing work to pay the bills. Mm. And we forget the important things. The rocks in our lives are the family and health. One of my straplines is a healthy person has 1,000 wishes. A sick person has one.
To be healthy.
Yeah.
Mm.
And why
that's quite profound.
It is.
I like that.
Simple, but you leave it, you know, people these days seem to need a wake-up call, and being ill is one of the things that they then start to turn the corner and look for solutions. I hate it when someone is diagnosed with breast cancer or anything that is quite serious, because the world then throws solutions at them. Mm. And what a confusing time that must be for anybody.
And we don't appreciate good health until we suffer bad health.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, there's lots of conditions out there that stay under the radar for a long time. Type 2 diabetes, which is obviously my specialism, type 2 diabetes is a point in question, because that can go undiagnosed for 10 years.
Yes.
And it's not until you get the symptoms that people then take action. But actually, in that 10 years, it's done potentially an incredible amount of damage.
Systemic inflammation. We don't know what's going on inside our bodies, and it's what we call the silent killer.
Mm.
There's all sorts of things going on. I mean, our bodies are amazing machines.
Yeah.
They're doing all sorts of things that if we had to think about what their functions are, it would blow our minds. But systemic inflammation is one of the things that the research around my supplement has actually been proven to reduce. And I'm very excited about that, because it means that people don't have to wait until they're sick.
Yeah.
They can actually be proactive in doing something in our busy lives to ensure that they have good health, not just today, but into the future.
And is that realisation that there is often, for most people, there is a better version of themselves? There is a healthier version.
Absolutely.
Perhaps better
right.
is not the right word. There is a healthier version. We put the aches and the pains and, you know, maybe the recurring colds and all those sorts of things down to just getting older. You know, it's just old age. But actually, there is no reason why you can't, from a health point of view, for most people, they can't reverse the clock and feel better than they did 10, 20 years ago.
Absolutely. Totally. I mean, a lot of people are always surprised when I tell them how old I am.
Yes, I was actually quite surprised, actually. We won't mention that on air, but I was pleasantly surprised. You're looking very good for it, I must say.
Thank you.
Okay, so what successes have you had with these products and with your individual clients? Obviously, we're not going to mention people by name.
No, not at all.
But can you give an example of two of how they've helped people?
Well, just very briefly. I mean, internationally, we've had hundreds of thousands of people, families who've enjoyed enhanced good health. You know, I can talk a little bit more about the clinical research, because I just feel right at this moment it's appropriate. What rather surprised me, my father, having worked for Glaxo when I was a child growing up, was that organisations, independent of this company that I work as a partner with, were being approached by medical and scientific organisations who were undertaking research on human beings and finding all sorts of really very significant changes. Bioavailability, I mean, it's a word that's a buzzword these days. It's on so many products. And what does it really mean? It means that your body recognizes and can absorb the nutrients that is what in whatever they're putting into their bodies. And we've had 19 studies conducted over 20 years, and there have been found significant increases in the amount of antioxidants and other nutrients in the blood. I mean, the research is absolutely phenomenal.
Mm. And bioavailability is actually really important. There's some really interesting videos on YouTube at the moment where there's experiments with foods that have been fortified. And there is one particular one where a certain brand of breakfast cereal is mushed up with water, put into a Ziploc bag, and then the person grabs a magnet and they run the magnet up the bag, and you see the particles of iron that are in that particular food. Not obviously going to mention the brand, but when food is fortified, it tends to mean that something was taken out in the process of processing. So they have to add it back in. Now, if they have to add it back in, it's going to cost them money. So generally, it's the cheapest form of whatever it is. Now, iron that's absorbed in the soil gets changed by the plants into a form that we can absorb, the bioavailability. But iron in its natural form, we can't absorb. And things like calcium, you know, calcium is converted by plants and fruits into a form that we can use. But in its natural form, we can't use it. So the bioavailability, which is the buzzword of the moment, is actually really important. Just because a food has got something added to it doesn't mean that it's going to be good for the body.
That's right. And I think what really attracted me to this whole process is that the fruits and vegetables have been grown until they're ripe and then picked. Juice, the water's removed,
yeah.
And we've got the pith, the skin, the seeds, just absolutely everything, and nothing has been synthetically added to it. So it's just plus 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 all the way.
Brilliant, fantastic. So going forward from where we are now, obviously we're in June now. We've got the remainder of 2018 and obviously 2019. What are your plans for the next 12 to 18 months?
Well, for the next 12 to 18 months, I am really looking to help as many people as I possibly can. I mean, I'm a great listener, and I am keen to help people do something positive for themselves and take action. So I'd like to change the lives of at least 100 families.
Mm.
And it's very simple to do. We have a fantastic program for children, and they can have free fruits and vegetables. And that's in a very attractive format. So no table battles here. I have to say, my oldest client was in her 90s, blind, and she lived alone. And when I visited her a few months after she'd been adding this product to her diet, she announced that she didn't care if she died tomorrow, because she now knew what quality of life was.
Mm.
And, you know, I felt very small and humble at that point. And it's something, and until you experience it yourself, until you feel health, it's very difficult to describe to anybody else what feeling well feels like.
Mm. And so many people get used to feeling bad.
Most people
but
do.
But accept that as being the norm.
Just under par. Mm. And, you know, just slightly tired. Lethargy is one of the main issues these days. And people put it down to sitting down at their desk or overwork. And life is to be enjoyed. You've only got one shot at it. So
absolutely.
Let's get it right.
Definitely. I agree completely. So who would be your ideal client? Who would be someone that perhaps is listening out there at the moment and thinks, actually, I need to have a chat to Nikki?
Right. Well, so many people don't do anything about their body or health, as we've just said, until they get sick or they know someone who's sick. So why leave it until then? It's easier to prevent things going wrong than put it right. So I'm looking for anyone who is super keen to stay healthy. If you're breathing, any man, woman or child will benefit. But I'm looking for mums who are keen to ensure that their children get the right nutrients into their diet now. As what they're doing is they're preparing those kids' bodies for their adult health future. And those habits will continue to develop into positive habits. So our children really are our future. And as we have that responsibility to do the right thing for them, by them.
Yeah, I agree completely. Yeah. And so why should people come to you individually? What is it about you that you think people would find attractive and approach you about these products?
Well, I listen, and I hope people understand that I really do care. In 25 years' experience of talking to people, I genuinely care that they should get the best for themselves. And I'm always happy to talk and explain. And it may or may not be for them, but they should take a look and decide for themselves. So, you know, if I've talked to someone and they decide this isn't for them, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I've done my job.
Yeah, and it's not going to hurt to have a conversation, is it?
Absolutely not.
So on that note, if people want to have a chat with you and want to discuss these products further, how can they get in contact with you?
Well, I can be found on Facebook and Messenger as Nicola Tolson. But being an old-fashioned girl, I like to talk to people. So my mobile number, shall I give my mobile number?
We'll leave okay. The mobile number on the website, but that's fine.
A good route.
What's your email address?
My email address is Nicky, N-I-C-K-Y, at becausegranny.
Yep.
With a Y, wasright.com. So Nikki at becausegrannywasright.com. That's
and
me.
So your website address is www.becausegrannywasright.com.
My website address is www.becausegrannywasright.com.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Technology. Fantastic, Nikki. That's been really interesting to find out more about what you do and how you can help people, and obviously the sorts of people that you're looking for. And, you know, the real takeaway from that interview is we don't realise how much better we feel until we start realising how bad we are at the moment, or, you know, how much potential there is with our health. And, you know, don't put it down to just getting older. You should, and Nikki touched on it, it's about having quality of life. You should seek out ways where you can maintain good health for as long as you can. And if you'd like to have a chat to Nikki, just to reiterate her website again, www.becausegrannywasright.com.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming on the show this morning, Nikki. It's been a pleasure to have a chat with you and find out more about you.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. So before we crack on to the next part of the show and we have a chat about fatty liver disease, we have another classic from the 90s, from 1997. Arguably one of the best one-hit wonders of the 90s, of 97. It's Hanson and Mbop.
Oh, interested in collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday the 18th of June. I hope you're all feeling great out there and you've enjoyed the show so far. If you'd like to tweet into the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. Happy to give you a shout out or give you a mention if you'd like me to. And you can find the show's Facebook page if you search Health Matters Radio Show. You can contact me directly at www.i-nutrition.co.uk. If you'd like to have a chat about anything health related, diet or weight loss related or type 2 diabetes related. And as I mentioned earlier, you can listen to this show and previous shows via the media page on my website, or if you have got iTunes, you can listen to the show's iTunes podcast. So, fatty liver disease. What is it? How do we get it? What does it do to us? And how can we deal with it? Now, it's quite a big subject, so I'll cover as much as I can in the next 10 minutes or so. So if I don't get all the way through, I'd rather not rush the subject because it is quite important. If I don't get all the way through, I'll continue the subject on into the next show. So the liver, what is the liver? Well, the liver is the largest organ inside your body. The liver is your body's processing plant, and most things that you consume go via the liver. And the liver's role is to help you to digest food, to store energy, and to remove toxins from the body. And a healthy liver actually contains very little fat. It's estimated that a healthy liver would actually contain around 2.5% fat by weight. And there's been some interesting programs on recently with people that have had fatty liver disease. And I think one of the people on this particular show, their liver was about, I think it was about 25 or 30% fat. And when you bear in mind that it shouldn't be more than 2.5%, it's actually quite scary how, not just how dangerous fatty liver disease is, but also how prevalent it is at the moment. So fatty liver simply means that we've got fat deposits, or we've got too many fat deposits in the liver. And when we get fat deposits in the liver, it stops the liver working properly, and in extreme cases can lead to some fairly serious conditions, which we will go on as we discuss the subject. So in the early stages, actually fatty liver is not harmful, and can quite easily be reversed by often by a change of diet. But it's as the disease progresses, and there are different stages to fatty liver disease. As the disease progresses, that then leads on to inflammation, that can lead on to scarring of the liver, and that can lead on to a decreased liver function. And as I mentioned, your liver is your body's processing plant, it's your body's detoxification plant. When your liver stops working properly, then that has some pretty serious health implications. So there are two types of fatty liver disease. There's fatty liver disease caused by alcohol, and people that drink too much alcohol get fatty liver disease. And there is also non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, or NAFLD, as it's commonly known. Now, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is not caused by alcohol. It's caused by other conditions, which again we'll go on to as we go through the piece. But it's estimated that around 25% of the people in the world have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. This is driven by increasing rates of obesity, increasing rates of type 2 diabetes, and also high cholesterol. Now, those are constantly rising in the UK. Diabetes is on the increase, obesity is on the increase, and cholesterol levels are on the increase, despite the best efforts by the NHS to bring them back down again. And as a correlation to those three conditions in particular, and also metabolic syndrome comes in there as well, the rate of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is increasing also. And it's estimated that around 1 in 3 people have, or 1 in 3 people in the UK have the early stages of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and they don't yet realise it. As we mentioned during Nikki's interview, there's lots of conditions in the body that occur without any physical manifestations. And it's when those physical symptoms come out that normally you're in a lot of trouble, because you're normally quite some way down the line. A non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is actually the most common chronic liver disorder in the UK. Now, early stage non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, we'll call it NAFLD from now on. So early stage NAFLD doesn't normally cause any harm, but if it's not dealt with and it becomes more serious, it can cause serious damage to the liver, and it can actually lead into a condition called cirrhosis. And I'm sure some of you have heard of cirrhosis out there, and cirrhosis is a very serious liver condition. If you've got high levels of fat in your liver, you are at risk of things like diabetes and heart attacks and strokes. And actually, an increase in liver fat, or fat that's stored in and around the liver, has been linked to insulin resistance. And for those of you that know me, my passion is about type 2 diabetes, to manage it and to reverse it. Insulin resistance is obviously hugely linked to type 2 diabetes, which in turn is linked to too much fat in and around the liver. The good thing is if you pick up NAFLD at an early stage, you can actually turn it around. The liver is an amazing organ that has the ability to regenerate up to a point. Now, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, it's also called non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. And that's a more advanced form of fatty liver disease. But 30 years ago, there wasn't even a term for this condition because it didn't exist. So this has only come on in the last 30 years or so. And I'd argue that it is as a result of bad diet, a more sedentary lifestyle that we lead these days. And as I mentioned, 1 in 3 people have this non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. They think that these conditions of the liver only really affect those people that drink a lot of alcohol, and it really isn't the case. So with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, there are two different kinds. You have simple fatty liver, which just means you've got too much fat in your liver and it's not particularly good for your health, but there's little or there's no inflammation and there's no liver cell damage. At that point, it won't cause you any physical health manifestations, and it will generally not be picked up unless you're tested for another condition and they happen to pick up that you've got a little bit too much liver fat at that particular time. But if you've got a bad lifestyle, if you've got a bad diet, there's ways to actually, whether you know you've got it or not, there's ways to reduce the risk. And if you do have simple fatty liver, there's ways to actually reduce down the fat that's in your liver. The other form of fatty liver disease is this non-alcoholic steatohepatitis, in which you do have inflammation, there is liver cell damage, and there's obviously a lot of fat in your liver. And that can lead on to things like fibrosis and the scarring of the liver, and then that can lead on to cirrhosis in severe cases, and also it can be a precursor to liver cancer as well. So that's non-alcoholic. Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is caused by reasons aside from alcohol. Alcoholic fatty liver disease is caused by heavy alcohol use and abuse and misuse. And what people don't realise is alcohol is broken down by the body in the liver. And alcohol sees, the liver sees it as a toxin, and it breaks down the alcohol so it can be removed from the body. But in this process of breaking the alcohol down, the liver generates harmful substances, and it's these substances that can cause damage to the liver cells. It can promote inflammation, and it can weaken your body's natural defense systems and also your immune system as well. So the more alcohol you drink, the more damage that you do to your liver. And alcoholic fatty liver disease is actually the earliest stage of alcohol-related liver disease. The next stage from that is alcoholic hepatitis, and then that can lead on to cirrhosis. So non-alcoholic fatty liver disease develops in 4 stages. Most people will be at stage 1 and not even realise it. So as I mentioned, stage 1 is this simple fatty liver disease. So you've got too much fat in your liver, and that's causing a dysfunction in liver function, but your body can cope with it. So this is called steatosis. So this is the harmless buildup of fat in the liver cells, and it's often only detected when tests are carried out for another reason, and it happens to be picked up during these other tests. The second stage is called non-alcoholic steatohepatitis, or NASH, N-A-S-H. Now, this is a more serious form of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and this is when the liver's become inflamed, and it's estimated to affect around 5% of the UK population. The next step is fibrosis. So this is persistent inflammation, and this persistent inflammation causes scar tissue around the liver and the nearby blood vessels. But at this point, the liver can still function normally, but it's obviously being slightly impaired by this scar tissue. And if you take a normal liver, a healthy liver, it's quite gelatinous. You can see it on the meat counter at butchers. It's quite a gelatinous organ. If you actually look at someone who's got fibrosis or cirrhosis, the liver has become very fibrous, and a fibrous liver is not good for your health because it is impairing the liver's ability to function normally. And the last stage is cirrhosis. So this is the most severe stage. So years and years of inflammation, and the liver shrinks and it becomes scarred and it becomes lumpy. And this damage, as I mentioned, the liver can recover. If you pick up fatty liver disease early on, and you stop the thing that's causing the problem, or the things that are causing the problem, the liver can recover. It's an amazing organ. But when you get to cirrhosis, this damage is actually permanent. And if that's not dealt with, then that can lead to liver failure, where your liver stops working properly. And then once your liver stops working properly, it's bad news. And then you may be looking at a liver transplant, sad to say, a premature death. So it's quite serious. For people that have those issues. And as I mentioned, it can take years for these conditions to develop. So if you've got an unhealthy lifestyle, and we are going to touch on lifestyle probably on the next show, then there's ways that you can change your lifestyle, change your diet, so that you can either reverse the damage that's been caused, or you can actually mitigate the risk in the first place. So time has caught up with us. I'm going to carry on with this subject on the next show, which will talk about the risks of alcoholic fatty liver disease, what the symptoms are, and how you can actually reduce the risk. Excuse me, I had to take a sip of water. You can actually reduce the risk of developing it yourself. So we've come to the end of the show. I hope you found that interesting. We've found out about FODMAPs. We've learnt more about what Nikki does, and we've also talked about fatty liver disease. Just a quick reminder of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. If you'd like to tweet in between now and the next show, I'm happy to give you a shout out. And as I mentioned, you can find this show and the previous shows via my website or via the iTunes podcast. And I'd like to thank Nikki once again for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Neil.
It's been a pleasure to meet you this morning and to find out more about what you do. So after the last song will be the Channel Radio News and Weather. And we're going to finish the show today with one more song from 1997. It's a great song by Natalie Imbruglia, and it's Torn. So until next time, until next Monday, have a great week. Stay happy, stay healthy, and I'll catch you next Monday.
I thought I saw a man born to lie. He was warm, he came around like he was dignified. He showed me what it was to cry. Well, you couldn't be that man I adore. You don't seem to know, you seem to care what your heart is for. Well, I don't know him anymore. There's nothing where he used to lie. My conversation has run dry. Illusion never changed.
run dry. That's what's going on.
Channel 2, Talk Radio.